Good morning. This is Neil Strausser with the CBS World News Roundup. Mexican-Americans are in the spotlight today as President Carter opens this second day of his West Coast trip in Los Angeles. Diane Sawyer has more.
Mexican-Americans have the president's ear all day, beginning the moment he gets up in the home of Stephen and Gloria Rodriguez, who were selected for the honor, the White House said, because the president wanted to spend the night in a typical Mexican-American home. There's just one problem. While most of California confronts serious Mexican-American unemployment and poverty, Rodriguez is a prosperous urban planner. Both he and his wife have attended graduate school, and the family car is a Porsche. After saying goodbye to his atypical hosts, the president will meet with six Mexican-American state legislators, dubbed the Chicano Caucus. They're expected to warn Mr. Carter, who received fewer Mexican-American votes in 1976 than a Democratic candidate normally does, that the political picture will only get worse unless he gives Mexican-Americans higher visibility in his administration. Then the president is off to a festival, Cinco de Mayo, the 5th of May, a lively celebration of an 1862 battle in which Mexicans routed a French expeditionary force. To the throb of mariachis and the aroma of enchiladas, the president expected to speak some Spanish and indulge in a little unabashed political grandstanding. Diane Sawyer, CBS News, Los Angeles.
As you heard, some Mexican-Americans complained the family Mr. Carter stayed with was not typical. And as Robert Pierpoint reports, they have other complaints.
They list several grievances. No Mexican-Americans in the cabinet or other high-visibility positions. Continued high unemployment, especially among Chicano teenagers. Poor relations between Mexico City and Washington, and bad treatment of what they call undocumented workers, but what are in fact illegal immigrants. This latter issue is particularly complex, since some Mexican Americans, such as Cesar Chavez of the United Farm Workers Union, oppose more immigrant workers from south of the border. But many in the Chicano community resent the way their blood relatives are treated when they come to find jobs in this country. So yesterday, Mr. Carter issued a statement in the form of a letter to the nation's 50 governors requesting them to deal fairly and humanely with any person accused of being an undocumented worker. It is another bit of evidence that in coming here, President Carter has realized the need to do better in his relations with the increasingly powerful bloc of Mexican-American voters. Robert Pierpoint, CBS News, Los Angeles.
The president managed to find a point of agreement yesterday with California's Governor Jerry Brown, Mr. Carter saying that Brown had done the appropriate thing in making arrangements for alternate days of gasoline rationing in gasoline-short California. Some of the counties may begin the rationing by Monday or Tuesday. An anti-government group, variously described as armed terrorists and peaceful activists, continues to hold some 30 hostages in the French and Costa Rican embassies in the capital of El Salvador this morning, including the French and possibly the Costa Rican ambassador. The group is demanding the release of five jailed labor leaders. In Nuremberg, West Germany, police last night shot and fatally wounded a suspected woman member of the terrorist Bader-Meinhof gang. She'd been sought in the 1977 kidnap slaying of a West German industrialist. In London, Great Britain's new prime minister has already moved into number 10 Downing Street, declaring there is work to be done. That work described by Susan Peterson.
This is the first full day of office for Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher, and she is spending most of it making crucial decisions about her cabinet. Later this afternoon, it's expected Mrs. Thatcher will announce who will fill many of those cabinet posts. Her immediate dilemma is whether to have Edward Heath, former prime minister, as a member of her team. Mrs. Thatcher replaced Heath as party leader several years ago, and they have had their differences since. But Heath campaigned vigorously throughout this country for a conservative victory. So it's thought Mrs. Thatcher will offer him a cabinet position, either as foreign secretary or a post with special responsibilities for the common market. Mrs. Thatcher will have to consider carefully who is to step into the minefield of industrial relations, as union leaders began publicly warning the new prime minister not to try to carry out her campaign promise to reform the trade unions. Sid Whale, leader of the railmen, said we are going to have a confrontation situation if they do what they say they are going to do. And the head of Britain's train drivers claimed Mrs. Thatcher is heading for trouble if she tries to interfere with the unions. Susan Peterson, CBS News, London.
The U.S. Secretary of Commerce Juanita Kreps arrived in China today for trade talks. Just out of China and looking at the Vietnamese refugee situation in Hong Kong is a former Secretary of State. Peter Collins has more.
The man who had a key hand in directing American policy during much of the Vietnam War says the United States has an obligation to take in more refugees from Indochina. Speaking at a news conference here in Hong Kong after a visit to China, former Secretary of State Henry Kissinger said he would lobby for the admission of more refugees when he returns home.
I believe that the United States has a very special obligation to the peoples of Indochina, which whether we were right or wrong, in whatever administration has contributed to enormous suffering in that area, and so I think we should do the absolute maximum we can to take in refugees and to ease the burdens.
Kissinger spoke after meeting with Hong Kong government officials who pointed out that this British colony has now become the favorite haven of Vietnamese refugees, with some 23,000 here awaiting resettlement. Peter Collins, CBS News, Hong Kong.
Kissinger also said he sees no immediate resumption of fighting between China and Vietnam, but no early settlement of their differences either. The weather system that brought 7 inches of rain in 24 hours to Middle Tennessee is moving to the East Coast today, and the worst of the flooding now seems to be over. So reports Davidson County Police Sergeant Wendell Akers.
The water has started to go down some, but the people have still not been able to move back into their homes, and it's still raining. But the major problem that we would have would be looting people going into the homes and that have been evacuated. Now, at this time, I don't think there's as much as it was. There is still some looting going on, though.
An estimated 1,600 people were forced from their homes. No more rain, but temperatures cool for Louisville in the 60s, our forecast for today's running of the Kentucky Derby, which can be heard over many of these CBS radio network stations. Wynn Elliott sets the scene.
It rained all day yesterday in Louisville, and baby, it's cold outside. But there is still 10 entered for today's 105th Kentucky Derby. The track could be anywhere from sloppy to muddy unless the sun warms things up later today. The favorite Spectacular Bit has handled an off-track before. Flying Pacer, the Western champion, has not, but that doesn't mean to say he can't or won't. Both colts have speed, and the past performances indicate they can both handle the distance. Now, if they burn each other up, pay too much attention to each other early in their race, who could do it? Well, there's a horse who trained all winter in New York. His name is Screen King. Golden Act, who avoided the top two and went to Louisiana and Arkansas and won their derbies, or General Assembly, who has speed, and he may remember he's the son of Secretariat and forget to stop. But if I were going to parry with the mutuals this afternoon, I'd make it number 4, Spectacular Bid. This is Wynn Elliott for CBS News in Louisville.
Meanwhile, an auto racing dispute between United States Auto Club and a group of dissident drivers is being fought out again today, not on the track, but in court. Bob Faw reports from Indianapolis.
The dispute drags on, and the longer it does, the greater the odds that the cream of the crop will be missing at this year's Indy 500. Again today, 6 racing teams, including 4 previous Indy winners, will be back in a federal courtroom here, arguing that the United States Auto Association had no right to ban them from the Classic. USAC did so after the teams, with such well-known names as Rutherford, John Cock, and the Unser brothers, formed their own association to change racing rules and to get drivers and owners bigger purses. Yesterday, USAC's president admitted the star drivers were banned largely because they had created that rival group. There was, he conceded, no right of appeal. The rejected racers say all that shows that USAC is arrogant and that USAC has also restrained trade in violation of federal antitrust laws. So today, as the track reopens, the legal arguments will continue. They might seem trivial, but in this sport of big engines, big money, and even bigger egos, what is clearly at stake is who controls professional car racing in America. Bob Faw, CBS News, Indianapolis.
New York State prison guards are going back to work today after approving a new contract ending a 16-day strike. So are city employees in Birmingham, Alabama, after settlement of a dispute over medical insurance. But new walkouts may be threatened soon in Birmingham, with public employee unions starting wage talks next week.